Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Especially you, you're going to have to listen to this again. My name is Ted Engelbrecht, and Engelbrecht, you don't understand that's a German name, so my ancestry is German, but I'm talking in a pretty good American accent, huh? I was born to American parents, went to American boarding school, so I got the passport and I've got the accent. But I was born and raised in India and spent 25 years out there because I was with my parents who were missionaries out there, and then we served out there as well. And then when I was in college here in the States, I married a Belgian girl. And I chased her to Belgium, so we lived for a number of years in Europe as well. And we went together to India, and then we went to Hong Kong. And while we were in Hong Kong, we had three of our own kids, we adopted a Chinese boy as well. So, and then we spent the last 15 years of our ministry in Vietnam. And when our boy got to be too old to take care of in Asia anymore, we came here. So we've been here now for 5 years. And so a lot of going and coming. But when we were sent out to Vietnam, although we had already served the mission for a long, we got the mission sending. And we were going to go out there. And, of course, they sent us out with Matthew 28, right? What's Matthew 28? Does anyone know what Matthew 28 is? The Great Commission. How does it go? Go, therefore, right? Teaching and preaching and making disciples. Actually, it doesn't say go. It says, as you are going. As you are going. So it's a participle. It doesn't mean that we don't have to go. That's not what I'm pointing at. But it's not necessarily go somewhere else. It's as you are going about the whole world. Wherever you are in this whole world. As you are going, teach and preach and baptize. And now, you know, we had to go around the world. Actually, we were out there. But what's happening here? The world is coming here, isn't it? So as they go about and as they interact, you interact with them, teach and preach. Well, the problem is if we were going to go and teach and preach in Vietnam, it was a communist country, a closed country, they wouldn't allow us to do that. And if we had done that openly the way we used to do it, the way we think we have to do it, we wouldn't have been able to spend 15 years out there. A lot of people I know couldn't spend 15 years out there because they were sent away. The Vietnamese government does, the Constitution does allow for the freedom of religion, but it's also interpreted freedom from religion. So being a church person there is like being a smoker here in America. You got to go into your little room there. And you can smoke by yourself, but you can't smoke in public. You might infect somebody, right? So you can't do your church in public. You might infect somebody. You can do it in your private there. So what do we do then? If we couldn't do what we're supposed to do, the way everyone says you're supposed to do it, how could we have been missionaries in Vietnam then? Well, we look to Matthew 25, which your song is about here too. And actually, it starts out with the epistle here. We are God's people. So this is God speaking to us. He makes us a people. But he speaks to us in Matthew 25. This is Jesus' before Matthew 28. But when Jesus comes to earth, when he comes back, he's going to judge us all. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats, right? And he's going to do right and left hand. I think if it was Lutherans, I don't know, here it's pretty good, but probably the front and the back. I don't know where the real ones are, but he's going to separate us. And then he's going to ask us all a question. He's going to say, do you know your Lutheran confessions by heart? Now, those are good things to know because they remind you of who your God is and what your God has done for you, how your God sends you. But that's not what he asks. He says, what did you do for your neighbor? Did you clothe them, feed them, visit them, take care of them? And that includes the stranger in our midst or those who would be in our midst. What have you done for them? So Vietnam wouldn't let us do the Matthew 28, but they let us do the 25, and that's what we went. But, you know, we're on the way to 28. It's not that we don't have 28 in mind. It's just how do you get there? You know, ministry is often explained in agricultural metaphors because that's what most people were for most of history, is agriculturalists, okay? And what do you do according to agriculture? What happens in the planting process? You plant a seed, and the seed grows, then you have the great harvest. The Bible's full of those things too, right? What happens though before you plant? I mean, I live in Vancouver, and I started scratching my dirt. It was full of rocks. So what do you got to do? And actually, that's what Vietnam was. It was full of rocks. What do you got to do? You have to take the rocks out. And what are those rocks? What are those stumbling blocks in that Vietnamese soil? The stumbling blocks was other people who weren't there for the church maybe, but who were considered Christians and who came to Vietnam. You know, we know Jesus as what? A friend. We know Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's all those things. He died for us. He gave us his body and blood to eat to fill us and feed us. But for the Vietnamese, they didn't necessarily see it that way. Who did they see as Christians coming to this country, to their country? Well, first it would have been the French. And what did the French do there? Well, they colonized it. They made them slaves in their own country. Is that what Christian means? Is that who Jesus, your leader, is? Is that what we're supposed to take from Christianity? Who's the next group of Christians who went there then, huh? That would be us. And what did we do in Vietnam? We dropped more bombs in Vietnam than they did in World War II over Germany. Now, there are political reasons, and I'm not getting to all of that, and I'm not judging anyone who does their duty and protects us and all the rest, but I'm just saying, I lived in Hanoi, the North Vietnam, okay? And not a single family was spared being killed there, having someone die in their family, not a single. And they're talking about bombs. They're not worried about politics. They're worried about bombs. Is that Jesus? So those are pretty big obstacles you have to take away. And of course, the only way to take care of obstacles is to deal with them, isn't it? So we had to go there and deal with people and show that's not Jesus, that was politics. That's not Jesus, that was economics. That's not Jesus, this is something else. But to do that, we have to put them first, right? We have to make sure that they know that we're doing this out of love and we're doing this for them. And then they'll listen. And you got to do it in a way where you're actually good at what you do too. You know, so we had teachers and we had projects in the villages and we made sure we did a good job. If you're a teacher, some teacher wanted to talk about Jesus. Well, before you talk about Jesus, be a good teacher. Because if you're a good teacher, someone might listen to you. If you're a crummy teacher, why should I listen to your crummy God if you have a crummy education and a crummy way of dealing with people, right? So you really have to win people. And that's what it's all about. And so that's how we shared the gospel. It's pretty tough. That reading tells us you have to see Jesus in all those people. The least of these, my brother, least of these, my sister, huh? You see Jesus. But what do they have to do? They have to see Jesus in you. That's what the song is too. We see Jesus in them, and they see Jesus in us as we serve them, as we take care of them, as we come and get into their lives. Because who created those people? Jesus. Who loves those people? Jesus. Who are Jesus' hands and feet to serve those people? That's us. So the other text we used, and so we were waiting to get to 28, and we did a lot of that too. People would ask us, and we could answer. We couldn't talk. If people asked us, we could answer. So we made a lot of, but the other thing, and we're waiting for that still, and the Lord is acting. But the other thing we did was use Micah 6, 6 to 8. Because what does Micah 6, 6 to 8 says? It says back then, people thought you only had a sacrifice. Well, right now, people think you only had a sacrifice. And actually what it's talking about back then is a group of people who, it was kind of like America now, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The rich are taking over everything, and to assuage their complex, their guilt, they do all kinds of good stuff, but they're still acting unjustly. So the Lord says, what does the Lord want of you? Does he want a lot of religion? Sacrifices and this and that and bells and whistles? And no, he says, what does the Lord? They want justice, mercy, and to walk humbly with him. Do justice? I'm not avoiding you. It's just this light here. It's less over here. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Well, what is justice in the Bible? You know, in America, justice is kind of, you do something, something happens to you. It's kind of like, you know, it's retribution. So did that person get what was coming to him? That's justice. No, but justice in the Bible is much bigger than that. Justice has got a covenantal root and it's got a wisdom root. And the covenantal root has to do with God and his covenant with us. Well, who do we make a covenant with when we make a covenant with God? The Creator. And he says, all this stuff owns to me, and you can have it in this covenant with us, but whose is it? Whose is my little garden? Whose is my little house? Whose is my big house? It's all God's. And who is it for? It's for all my people, and not just the ones who look like me. Justice is for everyone. It's for the orphan, the thing. Jesus was not a communist. The God is not a communist. But he is, if you look at economics in the Bible, economics is no one should have too much and no one should have too little. Now, is that the case in the world? Is there enough food in the world to feed everybody? Then why was I having to deal with villages where 57% of the kids were malnourished? That's injustice. What's doing justice? Addressing that. And the other part is wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge that we get from studying the world. It's called natural theology. But if we study the world, we can see how the world is put together and we can know something about God. So, you know, Job does that. He's wise, in a case. And he's sitting there and he does everything right and it doesn't work. So he starts to yell at God. But he yells at God. He doesn't yell at someone else. He yells at God. He wrestles with God. That's what Israel is. He wrestles with God, okay? Wrestles with God. And God says, you don't like it? You know? Where were you when I created the world? And you don't like it? Well, why don't you take over then? Hey, why don't you make the sun rise and the whales have babies and stuff, okay? And he finally says, oh, okay, I didn't do it. But he says, where were you when I put the foundations of the world together? This is done with a purpose. And we are all connected in that world that he puts together. You know, I've been talking here for probably too long already, but all the air in my lung has been in your lungs now. Yuck, huh? And all the air that was in your lungs is in my lungs now too. You know, great, because you guys are great people. Okay, thank you. But we are connected. And injustice anywhere affects justice everywhere. You know, if you put a hole in the ozone level, only your company is affected by that, right? We all are. If you dump stuff in a river, what happens? Everyone, it's not just you, everyone gets the problem, right? I was six weeks in the hospital with my foot. I had a wall fall on my foot when I was in India, and it got one of those super bugs. And so here the gangrene was taking over my foot. I was afraid to lose my foot. Well, if my foot gets gangrene, is it only my foot that's going to die? I'm going to die because my foot's connected to me, and I'm connected to you, and we're all connected. And so justice is understanding that we are connected. And injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And if you beggar your neighbor, he's going to come with his hand out, right? So we don't beggar our neighbors. And we don't leave God's love for ourselves. We share that love as part of what God tells us. And the way the world works is when we do that, we follow the plan that God for us is that when he says, you know, some things the Bible says because they're true, that's wisdom, and some things they're true because God says them. Okay, you understand the difference? So God says them because they're true. The Bible says them because they're true. That's wisdom. And they're true because God says them. That's revelation. That's revelation, special revelation. But it's better to give than receive. That's both. It is better to give than receive. Because if you give, the Lord has put the world together in such a way that it will be better for you if you give. You will have purpose. You will have good neighbors. You will have good customers. You will have justice in your land. And that justice is going to affect who? Everyone. And you. So these are things that we do. And when the world comes to us, if we go out to the world and we teach and preach, that's what we're doing. We're teaching this. And when the world comes to us, that's what we can do too. We can preach and teach. And you got to put on, I don't even have my robes on. I had them on this morning. Okay? You got to be a pastor to preach and teach, right? You got to be a teacher to teach. No. We can all do whatever God gives us to preach and teach what God has taught us, which is to love justice. And the other one, do mercy. Well, I could do mercy. All those guys I like, I'm merciful to them. All those guys who agree with me especially, I'm really merciful to them. All those guys who look like me. What was Jesus' mercy? Who are we supposed to love? Our enemy even. Ouch. That's what his mercy is. It extends to everybody. Because when I love my enemy, he's no longer going to be my enemy. Sounds like wisdom. Sounds like a good idea. And if we would listen to this more, it'd be really, really interesting, really, really good. Do mercy, love justice, walk humbly with your God. You know, I got a good old German. I have enough of that in me. That Germans know everything. And we know how to do things. And we certainly know how to do ministry and mission, okay? So we're going to go somewhere, and that's the way we're going to do it. And then we're going to ask God to bless it. And if anything fails, we ask God to clean it up. Right? So what does walking humbly with your God means? It means God goes first, and we go second. And we follow. You know, some of us are, unless we go somewhere, God hasn't been there. What? I thought God created there. Yeah. So, but we have to go there sometimes. We have to listen to what God is doing. I had to do this in Vietnam because we couldn't do it our usual way. And so we got there and we were able to go there with the National Institute of Nutrition. So in all of my training, I know how to eat well and I've done that. But I don't know that much about nutrition. Here I'm supposed to be teaching about nutrition. So, okay, that's the way we get in there. Let's go in there. So we go in there, and we have our little project. We were actually some of the first to go in. We have our little project. We go to the National Institute of Nutrition that sponsors us, and they say, here's this project. And so we have a little project, so they give us a little man to help us, right? And this little man, though, the Lord tempts him to go to Indonesia for some extra training. He leaves me high and dry. Supposed to go in there with Vietnamese, but the government says they can't come in, so you can come in, but you can't bring your Vietnamese friends in. So we go into Vietnam here with nutrition, not knowing what to do, and all of a sudden the guy ditches us. So luckily, my previous trip, when we were planning all of this, I met the son of the founder of the institute, because they didn't have taxis, so you had to get someone take you out to the airport. He and I clicked. So his father was a national hero and started the National Institute of Nutrition. This is not Olympia, this is Washington, D.C., okay? The National Institute of Nutrition. So I asked him, I said, would you help me? He said, Ted, he says, I don't like foreigners. I don't like working with foreigners. I said, well, why not? He says, you waste too much money. So I said, what? Here's a government worker who's worried about wasting money. That's okay. And, you know, especially out there, this goes into the pocket. Not here, of course, but yeah. Anyway, so I said, well, why? He said, well, I just came off working with the United Nations, and I had a $3.5 million project. 30,000 went to the villages of $3.5 million. All the rest went to experts and this and that and that and this and this and that. And so I said, don't worry. I said, we don't have a lot of money to waste. And besides, all the money we have is just for the big villages. Okay, I'll give you 3 months. Well, 15 years later, he was still with us, helped us open a Concordia International School in Vietnam, in Hanoi. First building was $9 million. So this is not a little preschool. Okay, let's go back to him then. So 3 months. After a year working with him, we said, why do you work with us? My boss came and said, why are you working with us? He says, I don't know. You guys are Christian, I'm atheist. You know, you guys are Democrats, I'm communist. You guys are American, I'm Vietnamese. You guys are non-government, I'm government. I don't know why I'm working with you. But he says, I do know this. He says, when I worked with the UN, I was the Vietnamese. I was the medical doctor. I was the PhD, which he already was. He said, but I was their boy. They knew how to do everything much better than I did for my country.
ha ha.
What did he say? He said, but you let me show you how to help my people. And that's why I'm working with you. And then a year later, humble, I didn't know what to do. I had to do that, but thank goodness I had to, didn't know anything. So, and who's the Lord sent this guy to, right? So the next year came back and said, yeah, you know, but by this time the NGOs were coming. We were all trying to steal the good government workers to work for the NGOs, because a lot of times they were the only ones who had training. So we asked him, would you work for us? And he said, Ted, he says, I'm a little man. I mean, he said, you're a little man. If I work for you, I'm a little man. He said, let me keep my high government position. I'll open all the doors for you. And that's what he did. And because we were humble. And thank goodness for the German, because I had to be humble. And the Lord does that with all of us. You know, we have this idea that we know everything. And we do know a lot. But God knows more. And if we open our eyes to how, and God doesn't want to send me, there was this good Jewish story. But I'll point at you, you're right here, okay, sorry. She's afraid she's going to heaven. She's afraid she's not as good as Ruth was. She's not as good as Moses was. And when the Lord meets you, he's not going to ask you if you were how good were you? How well did you do what you were supposed to do, not what Moses was supposed to do? All of us are called in our own ways, with our own gifts, our own strengths, and called to our own neighborhoods and the ones next door and bigger things as well. But first and foremost, to our set, to those around us. And open ourselves to them, and then we can know what they need, and then we can help them. Because as long as you do something for you, they'll know it very quickly. I'm doing this for you so you can have my agenda. You can give me what you want to, but I'm not going to listen to you. That's what happens. That's how ministry is done, and that's how it can be done everywhere. It's called vocation, right? I know you guys are, our friend there, he couldn't get baptized. If he had gotten baptized, he would have jeopardized everything he could for us. And yet he did more for our church than anyone else in that country. So that's God's problem. And we don't convert either. The Holy Spirit converts. But we can show Jesus to whoever we meet. When we see Jesus in them, it's easier. And why do we see Jesus in them? Because he is in them. He is in Jesus' mind. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves all of them. And he loves us. And he calls us as special people to be his hands and feet to those there. But and when we do that, we are blessed. Not just the people we bless. Have you ever been on a mission trip? You ever been on a mission? Yeah. Who gets served more in these mission trips often? The people who serve. And don't forget that. And that's the way the Lord put the world together. So we know that. So I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the faithfulness you have had. We couldn't do our work overseas if it wasn't for the people here. Because, you know, Vietnamese, they don't care about individuals. They don't care about Ted. They say, what's your community like, Ted? You know, we think individual, right? Well, our community is sending money to help you. Okay, our community comes out to help you to see this. Our community loves you. So you are a part of overseas mission. And we're a part of your present-day mission, right? And that's how it works. We're all connected. May the Lord bless us in our connectedness. May the Lord bless us in our being his people. May the Lord bless us as a family of faith. And may the Lord then fill us with his Spirit so he can send us as the same. Amen.